The founders of America said in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that we have certain rights that are enumerated, including the freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Yet we find ourselves today where often cancel culture, in effect, silences the voice of conservatives, at least in many of the media outlets. We're going to talk right now about cancel culture and also media bias on this segment on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a terrific cartoonist. He's an extraordinary cartoonist, political cartoonist, whose work is seen all over the country. His name is Gary Varvel. He's also a committed Christian and a conservative, which in some ways puts a target on his back, unfortunately, in these days of cancel culture. Gary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's quite an honor.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and let's get right into it. First of all, I want to find out about your own self. Tell us about your own background. How did you end up becoming a political cartoonist? And your work is seen all over the country, and I hope you don't get canceled someday because we see the present trends, you know, moving in that direction.
This was a dream I had from the time I was a kid. First time I saw Mad Magazine when I was 12 years old, I thought, wow, this is what I've got to do. And I always liked to draw. It was something that I just practiced alone in my bedroom. And I started doing cartoons for my school newspaper back in 1974. And in 74, I met Jerry Barnett, who was the editorial cartoonist at the Indianapolis News. And he told me that he thought I had what it took to do that job, although there were, at that time, 74, there were only 200 jobs for editorial cartoonists in the United States.
Wow.
And today, well, I took a buyout in 2019 after a 24-year career at the Indianapolis Star. And when I left, there were less than 10 jobs for editorial cartoonists in America. It used to be newspapers, you know, it was kind of a prestigious thing for them to have their own editorial cartoonist, but now because of the newspaper business has changed so much, they don't have the revenue that they once had to afford a luxury like their own editorial cartoonist. So they use syndicated cartoonists, and I just happen to be a syndicated cartoonist, so I still am able to make a living doing it.
Well, now there's still more than just 10 syndicated cartoonists in the country. You're just saying that only 10 newspaper jobs of cartoonists.
Less than 10 newspaper jobs. In the state of Texas, there are no editorial cartoonist positions available at any of the newspapers there.
Wow.
In my home state of Indiana, there are a couple of editorial cartoonists who are syndicated, but we don't have our home newspaper. And the newspaper used to be the way we made a living. But that's not really feasible now. So we have to find other ways of doing our jobs.
But market forces then is part of what you're talking about there, as opposed to Marxist forces. Ooh, that sounded a little clever. But you know, I mean, cancel culture. Comment about cancel culture and what kind of threat is that to a conservative political cartoonist.
Well, we really rely on the First Amendment in this country. In other countries, editorial cartoonists are jailed and tortured. And in here in America, we've always had the freedom to say what we want. People have always gotten upset. I've gotten pushback over all those years. But in the 90s, I had an editor who was like a firewall. I mean, people would complain about me, and he would just tell them, hey, you know, we have freedom to disagree in this country, and, you know, thank you for voicing your opinion. You can write a letter to the editor if you want. And so that's the way we handled it back then. But since about 2010, I think, everything changed. And I think it's because the culture has changed. Now there's no tolerance for any kind of opposing view. And so I would get apologized for in the newspaper. You know, it used to be I would do a sketch, editor would sign off on it. We would run the cartoon, and if people complained, you know, too bad. But something happened about 10 years ago in which if somebody started complaining and then it would pick up fire on social media, and then the editors would apologize after they had already signed off on the cartoon. So they didn't defend it anymore. It became more difficult. And it's, the same thing has happened, not just in cartooning, but in comedy. I've heard a lot of comedians say that they would not do their act at colleges because there's no tolerance for it. You know, humor is poking fun, especially editorial cartoonists. We're poking fun at something or someone. And there, and in Washington, there's, I mean, there are best cartoon writers that, you know, they just constantly do and say things that are ridiculous. And I, a lot of times I'm just illustrating what they're doing. But things have changed, and there, as we have become more woke, yeah. The cancel culture, has become more vocal. And what I've seen, Jerry, you know, my studying of the scriptures is it's really resembles 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And this is the key. Here's cancel culture right here. Unloving and unforgiving. And those two things. So if somebody complains about somebody who, like me, who draws something they don't like, even if I apologized for it, that's not enough, because there is no forgiveness. They don't want you to have a job anymore. They want you basically out on the streets. They don't want anybody. They want you unemployable. And that's how mean and unloving and unforgiving they are.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely amazing. There's no redemption. And, of course, with Christianity, there is redemption. In fact, the heart of the Christian message is Christ the Redeemer.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Paul goes on in 2 Timothy 3, and he says that they are slanderers. I've been lied about many times. In fact, on my Wikipedia page, somebody pointed out to me that on my Wikipedia page one time it said that there was a warrant out for my arrest. Ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. Now, that I got that changed, but I had to go defend myself. But it says also in 2 Timothy 3 that people will be brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then after all of this list, then this is what Paul says, and from such people turn away. Don't have anything to do with those people. And that's kind of my attitude toward it, you know, especially now that I don't have to answer to an employer. I'm basically relying on the Lord to provide for me. And I get it. You know, I was in journalism for 40 years. I understand what it's like to, you know, be a kind of have this fear that you're going to lose your job because people were complaining about you. And so I know that what it's done is it's silenced Christians. I'm not going to be silenced anymore. I think that God prepared me after 40 years in the desert of working in journalism, that he's prepared me for what I'm doing now. And I do a newsletter. You can sign up at GaryVarvel.com. And what I do is I comment. I draw my cartoons. I show you my cartoons. But I also comment on things that are going on in the culture, and I deal with it from a biblical perspective. So I use a lot of scripture because I see a lot of connections. I think we're living in biblical times now. I think we're in the last days of the last days. We've been in the last days since Christ was resurrected and went back to heaven, but I think that we're at the end of the last days. And one of the key things for me is just seeing that Israel has been regathered back to their nation. The language restored in Hebrew. It's a miracle that we've witnessed, and I think we kind of dull ourselves to that we're living in these kinds of days. How else do you explain, Jerry, the whole transgender movement and the insanity? We went from everything that you said was sexual harassment to now we're trying to groom children in schools to all kinds of perversion. It's incredible.
Wow. But you're right. But in the meantime, as the Lord said, occupy until I come. So
exactly. So
let's not give away the store as much as we have the opportunity to be salt and light in this culture, which is dying.
Right. And that's what Paul tells Timothy. He says, you've carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, and afflictions. And he tells him, continue to do these things. Stand strong for the truth. He's warning them that people are going to get worse and worse. It says in verse 13 of that text, it says evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you've learned. That's where I try to encourage people to do. Don't lose hope. God's still on the throne. He's in control of everything.
Amen.
And what happens for me is I actually am encouraged to know that scripture is true. I can just look out my window or watch television or just read the newspaper and I can see, hey, everything's falling into place.
So let me ask you a question. What would you say to some, let's say there was a young person that was called. They felt called to do exactly what you're doing. And yet, obviously, in today's environment, it's more difficult to get a start, I would imagine. On the other hand, perhaps there's more opportunities because of the internet. And, you know, not everything is beholden to the big editors of the big papers, if that makes sense. So what would be your advice? And surely you would agree that we need more Christian influence in the journalism trade.
Yes. Yeah. You have to adapt or you die. And so as the technology changes, we have to change. Newspapers, they still have a purpose that's more online. I think going forward in the future, there probably won't be a paper that you hold in your hand. Everything's going to be online or on a mobile device. And so a young person who wants to do this kind of thing for a living, they need to pray that that's what God has for them. Ephesians 2:10, God's already planned the good works he has for us. But also, I think that you need to study the people who have gone ahead of you. That's what I did. I studied the guys who were great at the craft, and then I tried to figure out how do they do what they do. But then the other thing is, you have to figure out how can you use the technology for your benefit. And people are figuring this kind of stuff out all the time. I do a newsletter. People do podcasts. Some people are working on animation, and they're trying to find places to do that. I was at a convention with cartoonists about 15 years ago, and there were about six of us standing around talking. I think that's about all of us that had jobs at the time. And we said, one of the guys said, "Do you realize how lucky we are to have been born when we were born, like in the 50s? And early 60s, because that was like the end of the heyday for editorial cartoonists, because it's been slipping ever since."
Yeah.
And I think, this past year, I think it was several of the journalism awards, Jerry, don't even have a category for editorial cartoonists anymore.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
It is crazy. But that's what's happening. It's frustrating for people like me. I'm a dinosaur, I guess, but this is what I've loved doing, and it has an impact. I mean, I get comments from people every week about how my cartoons have impacted them, and then the writing thing too. I love writing, and I plan on putting some of my stuff into a book. I do have a book out of my cartoons,
it's fantastic. Thank you. I have a copy of it, and it's wonderful.
So Drawing the Right Way, which you can get at GaryVarvel.com. I love. Here's what I think, Jerry. God has given me some unique gifts, and He wants to use it for His glory. And so, whatever time I have left, I want to do everything I can to impact the culture for Christ. That's it. That, in a nutshell, that's my life.
All right. We have 1 minute left to go. GaryVarvel.com, V-A-R-V-E-L, rhymes with Marvel. What do you want to say in closing? And I could ask this. Why are all the major newspapers and even the online publishing, why are so many of them to the left? I mean, not just to the left, but they're really far left in many cases.
Yeah, you don't have enough time for me to get into all of that. I would say this, it comes from the journalism schools. They have been taken over by the woke leftists. And so the kind of socialism, communism mentality is being preached to them. And I think that young people today, young reporters, they are emulating what they've been taught. And that's their worldview. Everybody has a worldview. Mine is a Christian-based, a biblical-based worldview. And we have a culture today, Jerry, that doesn't believe in God. We've rejected God. We believe in Darwinism. And when you take God out of the equation, then we have to become our own gods.
Yep.
And I see a lot of that happening. That's why there's so much. It's interesting. We went from the 60s generation, which I remember.
10 seconds.
Okay, we went from that, where we didn't trust the government, to now the leftists, they fully trust the government, and they don't trust people like me.
Yeah, because the government is God. Gary Varvel, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.